Time to head out to the Rude guest hotline. Rude, the most reliable heating and air conditioning products in the DMV. We welcome in the mayor of Washington, D.C., Muriel Bowser. Mayor Bowser, thanks for joining us.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Well, how does it feel to be the queen of D.C. sports? I mean, it must feel good, right? I mean, look at your record. Look at what has happened since you've been mayor. I mean, you helped spur economic growth by delivering Audi Field, the Care First Arena in Southeast, the transformation of Capital One, and now, as long as the city council approves it, a new stadium for the Washington Commanders on the RFK site. It's been sitting vacant for so long.
Have you ever sat next to Roger Goodell before?
Oh, I have sat next to Roger Goodell before, but not like this.
Right.
Not when he addressed the crowd and said that Washington, D.C. could be a site for a Super Bowl. I mean, that's a huge news. But I think it's also a reflection on how big this deal is, how great this deal is for the city, the team, the fans, the league, and how much the NFL wants to be in Washington, D.C. So we're really excited. We're grateful that we have a great partner in the Commanders as well.
So obviously it seems like this is coming together nicely, but there's going to be some obstacles that people have talked about, right, to kind of get the final votes that you need. We played some clips from one of the guys, you know.
Mendelsohn,
and, you know, sound reasonable to me. He just wants to see the plans before he can vote on anything. That sounds perfectly plausible to me.
For sure.
Do you feel comfortable that you'll be able to convince the remaining potential holdouts?
Well, listen, I have briefed most of the members of the council, including the chairman, all along. And, you know, I've been mayor for 10 years. And in my very first speech to the residents of the District of Columbia, I said I wanted to bring a Super Bowl to Washington, D.C. We have been very transparent about how important it is to bring our team home. And we have earned the reputation as the sports capital. And you mentioned some of the great sports and entertainment investments that we've made. And yes, it's sports. Yes, it's fun. Yes, it's games. But it's also dollars and cents for our city. We are a hospitality, sports, and entertainment economy. And even more so as our economy shifts, you know, there's a huge change, not of our making and not that we want, in the federal presence in the city. A lot of jobs will be impacted. And this investment is an investment in our future economy.
Mayor Bowser, were you stunned at the number that the Harris Group was willing to spend to get this deal done? A $2.7 billion investment, the single largest private investment in D.C.'s history, and that only 24% of the money will be coming from the city as far as expenditures to get the deal done. By comparison, Tennessee, there's 60% of their money is coming from taxpayers. Jacksonville, 50%. Buffalo at 49%. So for it just to be 24%, it shows the level of commitment that the Harris Group wants to get this stadium done back on the RFK site.
Well, my impression of Josh Harris and the group that he's put together is that they mean business, they're fair, and they mean what they say. And when I sat across a table from Josh early on, and I think we both kind of locked arms around this site, but we knew that we had to advance a great deal for the city. They knew they had to advance a great deal for their group that was feasible from a business perspective, like that we would both do the right thing for our teams. My team is DC and their team is the Commanders, but we share a value of doing what's right by the city. So I knew we had a good partner, and I knew if there were terms to be met, that we would find them. Listen, all markets are different. We think it's fair that the team invest in the stadium. We think it's fair that the city invest in the infrastructure on a public parcel, like we have done across all eight wards, just like the Wharf, just like Walter Reed, just like Navy Yard, just like St. Elizabeth's. Then the same will be true for RFK. And a point that I have to make is that not many of our public parcels come with a ready-made anchor. we have to go out and find an anchor tenant. Mm-hmm. And now we have a ready-made anchor, which means these 180 acres have a head start. And I think that bodes well for the successful completion of 180 acres.
I don't know if you can talk about this, Mayor Bowser, but if you're going to come up with the extra money to get this deal done, you know, and obviously construct roads and improve the metro and all of that, are you going to have to shave from other departments? How's that? Where's that money going to come from?
Well, we are investing from our capital budget. It's a very similar structure to what we just completed for the Capital One Arena, where the city would be the actual owner of the site, and the team would be a tenant, but responsible for all the construction and maintenance of the building. And we have a $10 billion capital budget. This represents $500 million of that. The roads and all of that come from our roads budget, also part of our capital budget. But just to give you some context, in this current budget, we will include the $856 million in capital expenses. We will have over $2 billion in school construction in that same budget. We'll have over $2 billion in road construction in that same budget. So yes, it's a piece, but relative to everything else we do for the city, we think it's a legitimate part of a $10 billion capital expense.
Mayor, from my perspective, and I think from most of our perspectives, I mean, it seems from afar, not being an insider, like a home run for the city. I drive by that, you know, the old site, by the current site, you know, RFK, all the time. Yeah, it's, you know, it's an eyesore. It's a terrible look for the city. I feel for the people that live around there. Some of them, I assume, want it. Some don't. Will there be displaced people? I see you say there's going to be 5,000 potential new homes. How does that work?
So,
all of that.
You know, what's really important is get the picture of the current site out of your mind.
Okay.
Because that's the old way. You know, that was a 1960s structure, right? Mm-hmm. Where everybody drove, everybody needed surface parking. Some people walked from close by, but this was a car-centric America. Fast forward to 2025, where we have many modes. And we have in this city our own experience of transforming old federal parcels into vibrant places like the Wharf. We estimate, like if you just took the landmass of the Wharf, four wharfs could fit into the 180 acres of RFK.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
So where we have hundreds of units of housing, where we have restaurants and hotels, where we have recreation activities and all forms of entertainment. And that's what the new RFK will be like. It will have a stadium, but it will be surrounded by a mix of uses that are vibrant and active 365 days a year.
Hey, by the way, just as a side note, have you privately, have they done any sort of official preliminary architecture plans that the secret insiders have already seen, or is all that still to be done?
It's really conceptual at this point. You know, what happens is a lot of architects and designers, some of which we've tapped or the team has tapped, others is kind of like crowdsourcing almost, that are just offering their renderings of what an RFK stadium could look like. Yeah, we have a very high design aesthetic for the stadium, I have to tell you, because it's a once-in-a-generation opportunity. It's in the nation's capital. It's on the monumental axis. When you go to the top of the Washington Monument and look east, you'll see the Capitol, and then you'll see RFK Stadium. So we have a very high design aesthetic to fit in with the neighborhood, to fit in with the monumental nature of our city, but also to offer a great fan experience. So it should have the best views. You should feel close to the field. You should be in community with everybody who comes. You should be able to support the small and local businesses who will be tenants. So we think it's a great opportunity. We want an award-winning design. We want it to be sustainable. We want it to be beautiful. We want it to be able to commune with the nature surrounding it. Part of the reason why Congress transferred this to us at, you know, only the cost of cleaning up the site is because we're also going to fulfill their parks mission of the National Park Service. So we'll have parts of that campus that are undevelopable right along the Anacostia River, and 30% of the land will also be able to be used for parks.
Are DC building height restrictions, do those come into play as far as the design of the new stadium? And also, like, aesthetically, do we see a stadium that's going to reflect like the architecture of some of the classic buildings throughout DC?
I think that's certainly on the table as an option. And if it's not exactly in the kind of classical architecture, it'll be complementary. I will tell you we knew was a big thing, but I am even surprised at how quickly the Frederick Douglass Bridge arches have become iconic of Washington, D.C.
Mm-hmm.
And I wouldn't mind, I'm just going to tell you one person's view, if that's reflected in the building.
Talking to Mayor Muriel Bowser, who has been the mayor for 10 years, she just told us that earlier. I'm curious, this is something that has been talked about really for over 20 years. The previous regime wanted to do this, right?
Yes,
what was the
sure.
difference working with Josh Harris and Mark Ein and Mitch Rails in this group versus the previous regime? Why were you able to get this done now?
Well, I said it yesterday, and I wasn't, you know, he was sitting there, so I didn't want to embarrass him, and I certainly wasn't sucking up. But I think the sense is that Josh Harris saved the franchise. It's a storied franchise, but it was definitely spiraling down. And so I think he brought a new culture to the team, one that, you know, is rooted in, you know, his company's values, but certainly one that is reflective of a winning culture. And the proof is in the pudding. I mean, they went like to the NFC Championship. They've been smart about their staffing and their, you know, recruiting. I'm not a football operations expert, but they seem to be doing a fantastic job. I think they've done a great job at reaching out to their fan base and winning them back. Even the legends, when you saw John Riggins at the event, you saw Coach Gibbs, who I understand had to turn around quickly from some other engagements to be there. Doug Williams, our MVP, was there. So I even think that the legends feel more engaged, and that says something, I think, about their outreach.
Mayor, I know you got to go. Just 10 seconds. The past regime sucked. We hated those guys, all of them. You don't have to say it. We'll say it. But I did like the lazy river idea around the stadium. If you could incorporate that, I'm just saying, I did kind of like that.
She's already got the Anacostia
like
River there.
I like it, a lazy river. What's better than a lazy river, Mayor?
Well, I think probably a lot of things.
Just keep it in mind.
She's not behind
that's
that.
That's just one person's opinion.
All right. As we said, it's all on the table. Thanks, Porch Junkie.
Mayor Bowser, thanks for the time.
Okay.
We appreciate it. No, you have to run. That's D.C. Mayor Muriel Bowser coming off the heels of the press conference in D.C. yesterday with Josh Harris, Roger Goodell.
She doesn't have the same love for lazy rivers.
Didn't sound like it.
No.
I mean, who doesn't love a lazy river? Fantastic.
Maybe she just hasn't been on a good, real good
that's,
one.
That's yeah, possible.
Right. Yeah.
Is it possible? She's 52. Is it possible that she went to a dance because she went to Seton that you guys attended while you were at Dematha?
I mean, I don't know. It's
highly possible.
Did you guys have dances together?
Yes. I only went to one, and I can barely remember it. I think it was a sophomore.
I mean, it's possible.
So it was 86.
Games together or whatever.
You know what I mean? Are like colleagues, close in age.
What you call it, your sister school?
Yeah.
Correct.
It's possible.
And they would do the dances in the antler room.
Mm-hmm. I had to do the dance marathon every year.
Mm-hmm. Wait a second. You guys had a dance marathon?
That's how we
at the
raised
Mappa?
Money. No, it was a band program.
It was for the band. That's how they raised money.
Yeah,
you so fundraiser.
You would just stand there.
But they would shove you all the time because you had to make sure you're moving.
You had to be moving.
You had to be moving. Yeah.
So how long would you be shuffling your feet and or moving?
50 minutes at a time for 12 hours.
Oh, that sounds...
No, it was idiots.
Who was your dance partner?
Nobody. I just stood there. It was miserable.
Yeah. Hold on. You guys didn't even have a girl to
well,
dance
you could
with?
You invite girls. I mean, some guys that had girlfriends. I mean, you know, I'm like a freshman in sophomore. I didn't have a girlfriend. What are you talking about?
He's probably dancing with R.I.P. Jaron Mustaf.
I mean, I was just a...
No, he wasn't. Believe me, he wasn't there.
No, he wasn't.
Yeah, he's like, I'm not hanging out with the band nerds. Yeah. I got hoops
R.I.P.,
practice.
But he wasn't there.
I got hoops practice.
No. It just was miserable. I remember I would just get shoved because I'd be like leaning against the wall. They were like, you got to move.
Yeah.
You got to keep moving. Stupid dance.
You guys couldn't go like door to door selling chocolate bars like everybody else?
We did that
too. They did that too.
We did that too. I didn't really do that. I just ate the chocolate bars and donated the $60.
Your brother went to DeMatha. You remember that?
Yeah. I mean, he had to do that dumb stuff too.
Yeah.
I mean, everybody's kid that plays a sport, they do dumb fundraisers.
Do they still do, like, do Catholic schools do chocolate bars? Like, is that still a thing?
I don't know. No
Isabella goes to a Catholic school, haven't had chocolate bars.
Actually, my daughter goes to a Catholic school.
But there's constant fundraising. I mean, that's what the daddy-daughter dance is. It's a way for them to sell tickets to generate money.
I'm so disconnected from basic, like, the education of my kids that I don't know.
Everything's really fundraising. Golf tournaments constantly.
Yeah. By the way, won another golf tournament.
Very Shout nice. Out. What did you win? What was that? What was the prize?
I won my third watercolor of Norbeck Country Club.
Oh. Are you serious? That's the worst prize I've ever heard.
I have one of those.
You won one too?
Well,
you were in a group?
Mikey and I won the pickleball.
Is that what they get for the tennis?
That's what I won.
So that's funny. So for you won the pickleball thing, but you got a watercolor of the golf course.
Correct. What, are they going to give me a watercolor of the tennis and pickleball complex? No. They're going to give you what they got.
Right.
What they have on site.
What do you do
with them? You throw them away?
They're like framed things. I don't know. I got three of them. I'm 3 for 3, by the way.
Are they in the garage?
They're like in my workout room.
Mm-hmm.
What am I going to do?
I mean, it's just got to go straight to trash.
You would think.
Yeah, I don't know.
I got from my realtor when we sold my mom's house. Very nice. Did watercolor of my mom's. I was like, what am I going to do with that?
I don't know. My mom's been staying with us and with my sister since she fell, right? Mm-hmm. So like a day or two after Christmas. Where are we? We're almost at. She's been to our house like twice since then. I mean, it really just occurred. I mean, we just throw everything away. Yeah. She doesn't need it.
She doesn't need it.
Yeah, she's getting along fine without it.
She's not there. She doesn't need any of it.
Yeah. You need to roll a big-ass dumpster out in front and just start chucking
stuff in
there.
By the way, me saying this is giving her a nightmare because that's her nightmare.
Anxiety.
It's me saying that.
She'd be distraught if you got rid of those paintings in the living room.
Well, no, I got painting or something. Maybe you could donate that or something.
Yeah.
But, I mean, most of it, just a house full of garbage.
The only thing that house needs, it needs one thing. A for sale sign in the lawn is what that house needs.
Eventually, it will have one, Cakes.
Yep.
You got somebody mowing the lawn? Does Chad drop by?
I started thinking about that the other day because now the grass is growing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I had to mow last night.
Get somebody
on
that.
You're not going to go over there and cut it. That I do know.
No, I did that plenty of times as a kid.
If it's the abandoned house that has the grass.
I'm sure she has somebody.
2 feet high.
She had somebody doing it before, so I'm sure she has the same people.
All right, we're going to hook up caller number 9 right now at 800-636-1067. You're going to score a pair of tickets to round 1, home game 3 for the 2025 playoffs with the Washington Capitals Wednesday, April 30th as they take on Montreal at Capital One Arena. For tickets and more event info, visit thefandc.com. But 9th caller right now at 800-636-1067 wins. And don't forget, giving those tickets away once an hour, all the way through 5:20 today here on The Fan, so keep listening. Congrats go out to Miguel from Annandale. He was caller number 9 when we prompted him to call
Miguel.
The Caps home game tickets for the playoffs against Montreal. Hopefully can close out the Canadiens tomorrow and move on, and I can update the Dubs counter up above EB's head here in the studio.
Drop it to 12.
I want to tick that thing down to 12. That would be nice.
By the way, I don't, did you guys see this story? Just real quick. I'm so glad that this guy said no. Abdul Carter asked LT if he could wear 56.
No, no.
And LT said, no.
No, that's mine.
Find your own freaking number. Go make 00 famous. No. So whatever you want.
No.
I love it. I hate when they ask these legends who have their number retired for reason.
Yeah.
And, you know, the next generation, he probably barely knows who LT is.
He probably doesn't know how great he was.
I mean, honestly.
I mean, that takes balls.
Takes such balls. I hated it, honestly, when Haskins did it and Theismann, you know, was gracious enough. But I hope the next time somebody does that, Joe says no.
Right.
Find your own freaking number. I worked hard, and I'm proud of my number being retired, you know.
I mean, that would be like somebody asking to wear 8 after Ovi's number is retired. Like, that would be idiotic.
That's
like,
crazy.
Can you read the room? Yeah. What are you doing?
I can even tell you, so I follow, you know, my kids' teams. Like, even after, like, so I still follow Marist, right? Stevie's done. He did 5 years there, moving on in his life, whatever. Still have friends on the team. When I see the freshman wearing 41, I get pissed.
Yeah.
I go, he shouldn't be wearing 41. Believe me, my son was no Hall of Famer, but it's just, I can't imagine if I was a legend.
Yeah, I mean,
you feel territorial
about
it.
Even more legendary is the LT story from his draft day, which is infamous, about the number of Coors Lights he drank on. Did you hear the number?
No, I believe it.
Something was like 28?
41.
Oh, yeah. 41 on what? When?
The day he was drank. Like, I think somebody was asking him.
Hey,
like,
but there were lights.
Yeah, I don't care how light they are. You know what? Give JP 41 Coors Lights and see what sort of condition he's in.
Give me 4 and I'm hammered.
Drink them in one day.
4.
Can you imagine that number?
Maybe 3.
That's all.
No, cannot imagine.
That's nearly 2 full cases.
Although I think in college you could get after it. Not 41, but I don't think it was. You probably drank 12 to 18 at some point.
At my drinking height in college.
In college.
When I was at my peak, when I was at the peak of my powers. Yeah, I could probably easily put down a 12-pack before I even went out to the bars. Like, that was the warm-up.
Right.
And then throw another 8 on at the bar, and it's a solid night.
Right, he's 10 times bigger than you, and, you know, more aggressive and more into it.
Also, on coke. Okay, like, I wasn't on coke. Now, here's my disadvantage. Wasn't on coke when I was pounding.
Right.
Those were Milwaukee's best back in the day.
Right.
And that was good beer.
Right.
That was when we sprung for decent beer.
I'm proud of LT for
standing up for himself to
the sort of the pressure of these young guys and to give up the number.
I think it's different than Haskins. Abdul Carter wanted to wear it to continue the legacy.
Mm-hmm.
That he comes from Penn State, where all the great linebackers wear number 11.
Mm-hmm.
He wanted to wear 56. To continue like that legacy of having the great linebackers with the Giants. I mean, Warren Moon gave up his number to Cam Ward without even Cam asking.
That was classy.
I wouldn't have done that. I wouldn't have done that.
Could Abdul Carter?
No.
Could he not wear 11 in the pros?
My number.
Pros have weird stipulations on.
I think you could now.
Maybe now, but maybe.
I think just wear 11 then.
It might be taken.
If that's Phil Sims.
Okay, it could be taken, but I mean, he can pay whatever stiff on the roster has 11 currently.
You're probably right. Is it Phil Sims?
I don't know if it's retired. I doubt it's retired.
He said, Carter said of LT, he's the greatest football player of all time. Somebody I look up to. I just want to follow in his footsteps knowing how great he was. I want to chase that greatness.
Right. That's a great answer by him. I appreciate the sentiment. I would not give you the number. My jersey is retired for a reason. I don't want anybody.
I was silly.
I'm too shallow and I'm too self-absorbed to want to share my number. Yeah.
Well, he's not getting it.
Yeah. I love it. I don't want how many numbers for the Skins are actually retired? Like 2 or 3, right?
Not a lot.
Like
nothing. There are some that just haven't been given out through the years.
Right.
But, you know, I don't want to see somebody else wearing 44.
No, can't have that.
I just
that.
Don't want to see it.
No, you just can't. You can't wear that.
Yeah.
Just a bad look.
I don't know. The numbers do mean a lot. The jersey numbers, they do.
They're pretty symbolic.
For diehard sports fans, they mean a lot.
Sure. They're important.
Yeah. So, I'm team. Don't give up the number. make your own.
And I'm kind of not surprised that LT said no. He'd be the one guy who would say no.
I'm glad. I hope more people do. Huh? I hope more people do.
Just can't imagine drinking 41 beers in one day. Yeah. that's just the most stunning stat of all.
I recently saw it was a clip of one of these sports regional channels or whatever, and they were talking about David Wells throwing the perfect game after he was hungover, and literally David Wells was so went out. You guys all know the story. Went out, got hammered with the boys or whatever, and literally showed up to the dugout, an hour or whatever before the game. And one of his teammates, I can't remember who it was, said, "Dude, you can't go. Don't go near Skip. Don't go near anybody.
Right.
You freaking reek.
Right. You smell.
Booze. You smell. Right. Like freaking booze.
It's just coming out of your pores. You can't help. You
go
can't help.
Hide
it.
Somewhere. Right. And it's the day he throws a freaking perfect game.
Hmm. He's dialed in.
I mean, how do you do that?
Wasn't he at the Tampa Super Bowl? We were hanging out at a party.
Yeah. He was bullying one of us. I feel like he was somewhat bullying us.
I can't remember.
Yeah.
I think I had a picture taken with him.
I think that was also a party where there was a tiger cub on a chain, a 40-pound tiger cub that they were walking throughout the party.
The other guy that was there, I think it was the old Cleveland Browns quarterback who sucked.
Tim Couch?
I think it was Couch.
Because I remember we were passing around a football and got autographs on it. And Tim Couch definitely signed it. Mm-hmm. And I think David Wells did too.
Mm-hmm. And there was the tiger cub there.
Yeah.
You remember the tiger?
Yeah.
That's what he was saying.
Oh, I'm sorry. You just said that? Yeah. I had my picture taken with him.
Mm-hmm.
I was thinking about Couch.
I think
those are the good old days,
I think,
man.
The most hammered I was ever on one of our Super Bowl trips was, and I was just going down memory lane, somehow I wound up playing PlayStation football with Tim Brown. And that was my guy back in the day. Right. And I was hammered.
That was probably at a Nike party?
It was at some sort of
or
fancy
maybe
a party.
EA Sports
Might
party.
Might have been an EA Sports party.
That's probably what it
was. I was hanging out with Tim Brown. It was pretty cool.
Yeah.
And I probably had a dozen beers.
That was the same that was the same year we got our picture taken with Downtown Julie Brown.
I think I missed that picture. I don't think I was present for that.
I took all those pictures. Yeah. Had them on a digital camera at some point.
Yeah.
If somebody could resuscitate our old MySpace page, you'd be able to find the pictures.
MySpace.
Right.
What a relic.
Well, just getting back to Mayor Bowser for a second. She seemed pretty confident, by the way.
Yeah, I don't think you call that press conference and have all those dignitaries show up if you're not close to crossing the goal line.
Although Ted did it. He had the governor.
He did.
I
was pretty convinced that Ted, they were moving down to Alexandria.
I was ready to go to Caps games in Virginia. I was ready.
Except she has a track record of actually getting this done.
She gets it done.
She's actually got a resume and a track record of getting it done.
Not that Ted doesn't get things done, but she gets buildings built.
Yeah.
Well, the biggest difference in this case is Josh Harris from day one has wanted the team to go back to RFK.
Right.
Mm-hmm. It's nostalgia for him. It's not going to be a nostalgia stadium.
But it's beyond nostalgia. He's willing to put his money where his mouth is.
Yes.
Yeah.
And his partners, by the way, his primary partners are Mark Ein and Mitch Rales. I know that Snyder was local, but these guys are all local guys who want the team in D.C.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, Snyder was also a unique weirdo.
Yeah.
I don't care what anybody
says. And I doubt, the graphs that came out yesterday where it showed the other new stadiums and how much public investment versus private investment, and it showed that in this case, it's the most percentage of private investment compared to the others. I doubt Snyder would have ever done that.
I'm so glad that we have heard reports that he's just, that little shrimp is just stewing on his yacht somewhere off in the Mediterranean, just so upset at the success that Josh Harris.
I thought he was living
in
London. Wasn't he living in London?
Who knows where he is? Yeah, I heard that report too.
Yeah, I think he was living in London.
I think he's on his yacht all the time too.
Oh, I'm sure.
I'm glad you asked that question, and it doesn't sound like they're wedded to it by any stretch, but sort of I think we all saw some of the same renderings that people were throwing out there of what a stadium could look like, and obviously you have your ultra-modern looks, right? They're SoFi-ish, Mercedes-Benz-ish, whatever, makes an amalgamation of that. But then someone had one that looked like the architecture in D.C.
Yeah.
Looked like a Coliseum, but still a closed Coliseum. That's kind of intriguing, too.
She also mentioned the Frederick Douglass Bridge, the architecture there. So, if she has any sort of input, you might see a little nod to that, too.
Yeah, maybe they can blend the two somehow.
I think that neoclassical design would look amazing because they're all in a row there.
Mm-hmm.
They said yesterday about looking at the Capitol building from the, inside the stadium.
Mm-hmm. No, it would be incredible if they could pull it off.
Yeah. There's been a listener of ours who's been like hand drawing designs of this new stadium.
Hand drawing?
Yeah. And he's like a professional artist. Uh-huh. He's obsessed with the idea of the stadium looking like the other monuments.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it would be incredible.
All marble outside. And
but I am also torn because, like, you know, when you go, when you see SoFi on TV, mm-hmm. or like when I saw Mercedes-Benz recently, or you drive by some of these stadiums locally, they do look so cool in their own way,
mm-hmm.
in their own modern architecture. So yeah, I can't go both ways.
You know what other stadium looks pretty cool? The Colosseum.
In
Rome.
That was done all right.
Yeah. I agree. Part of the attraction, what I love about the Ivy League, and I've been to all of them, is their old
how
stadiums.
How old they are, yeah.
Like they're all, I mean, they're like, you might say that's a dump. And you're right on some level. It is kind of a dump, but it looks awesome. Some of the old gyms look awesome. The gym at Yale, and you know, I hate Yale because they beat us and everything. That gym at Yale is awesome.
Yeah.
Old gym.
I wonder where that was built.
Yeah, I don't know. It got to have been over 100 years ago.
Yeah, I was going to say.
Coming up a bit later, John Keim will join us coming up at 9 o'clock. We'll talk more Commanders news with him. And don't forget, coming up at 9:20, your next chance to win a pair of tickets to see the Caps take on Montreal. Round 1, home game 3, Wednesday night at Capital One Arena. So keep listening for your chance to win. The more details we see about the Bill Belichick interview on CBS for a few days ago, the more convinced I am that he needs to break up with Jordan Hudson 10 minutes ago.
Not going
to
happen.
Yeah.
She is such a nightmare.
What's
this
the latest?
This is from TMZ.
Yeah.
Jordan Hudson, by the way, she spells her name weird too. She spells it with an O instead of an A. That's tilting. But
what
anyway,
mean,
that's.
I mean, the Jordan.
J-O-R-D-O-N instead of A-N. Right.
Jordan. Well, I mean, I'm sure
it's not her choice.
Her parents did that.
Okay.
I mean, she could change it.
Her parents are donks. But anyway, she went completely off the rails during Bill Belichick's CBS interview to the point where she stormed out of the room and delayed shooting for 30 minutes. Sources familiar with the situation.
All right, what made her storm off? Do we know? I saw that too. But what made her storm off?
Not sure exactly what it was, but according to TMZ, they were told outside of the baffling moment that made the final edit, there were numerous other instances of Hudson butting in,
mm-hmm.
even when the legendary coach was answering questions about football. She would stop and correct him. Their sources say Belichick only arrived at the interview with Hudson. Nobody from his publishing company, nobody from UNC, no other reps were with him. At one point in the Q&A, Hudson got so heated, she stood up and walked out and wanted Bill Belichick to follow her.
Mm-hmm.
It's unclear if Coach agreed, but the blow-up delayed the whole interview for about half an hour.
Mm. What's her beef? I don't know.
Was her beef just that the interviewer was asking about how they got together?
Maybe
and where
that
they
was
met.
Part of it. As for how the dumpster fire of an encounter got edited, TMZ was told the higher ups at CBS News and Sports had to get involved to figure out how to salvage it.
Mm.
And while a second interview was scheduled to go down at a later time, it was ultimately scrapped.
Right. But we don't.
She is a nightmare.
Yeah.
I understand that he's smitten.
Sounds like it.
His heart has been pierced by Cupid's arrow. I understand.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. He has got to cut ties with her.
He doesn't care.
He doesn't care
what you think.
He doesn't care.
I know he doesn't.
He doesn't care what anybody thinks.
Exactly.
But I'm begging him. Just
why?
Why? Since when do you care about Bill Belichick?
Here's what I do care about. He's embarrassing himself and his legacy.
No.
In front of the whole country.
He's embarrassing men. He's embarrassing men.
Sure. That too. But he's more specifically.
Yeah, but you don't care about his legacy.
I don't personally, but yeah. I mean, he should care about it. If he's old enough where he just doesn't care about his legacy and the way he's perceived by people, then okay.
He just wants to be happy.
I don't actually.
Makes him happy.
Yeah, but how can you be happy with someone who acts like that?
I just don't believe he's that happy.
Well, is he ever happy about anything?
Probably
not.
Doesn't
sound like it.
She must be amazing.
You have to break up with her immediately.
Right. But he doesn't.
Right now.
He
like
doesn't
right
care.
Now.
Dude, he's probably 10 years or less away from dying. He
I
doesn't
understand.
Care.
Well, the news director, whoever, should have come in and said, you know what, Bill, see you later. We're not dealing with you. We're not promoting your book.
Right.
See ya. They shouldn't have even aired it.
No, but it's great. They've gotten so many ADs out of airing it.
Yeah,
it's actually the best thing that could have happened to CBS.
He's had, though, a coming out, really, the last couple of years. After he gets fired from the Patriots, even though he says that he wasn't fired.
Mutual understanding.
He had 4 or 5 TV gigs. Nobody would have predicted that.
Mm-hmm.
He was on the Manning cast.
But he wasn't particularly charming in any of
those. I'm not saying he was, but he was on the Manning cast. He was on, like, Inside the NFL.
Yeah.
I think he was doing the radio hit with Tom Brady. He was, like, everywhere. He's a changed man.
No, I don't think he's a changed. It just depends on what
his angle
is.
He didn't sound like a changed man in that interview.
Yeah, like in that interview, he went back into old Coach Belichick mode.
Here's his problem.
He went to old shut him down, not going to say anything.
He's overcome by the fact that a hot 24-year-old is, you know.
By the way, doesn't she look a lot older than 24 in some of these photos?
Yes.
She looks like she's about 35.
Hey.
I question the 24.
I have a bulletin for Bill Belichick. There are plenty of hot 40 to 45-year-olds. It's okay to go up a few years. You gotta leave Jordan Hudson behind.
He found his soulmate, Cakes.
No, yeah. That's funny. It's not his soulmate. I mean, he may think it's his soulmate.
No, he doesn't think it. He just thinks it's a hot young chick.
Yeah. He's in the infatuation phase.
He found somebody that's got his
back.
Yeah,
I would agree that she looks older than 24.
She looks older than 24, and I'm sure she is.
But
she sure looks older than it.
Right? He found somebody who believes in him, who supports him, that's got his back.
Oh, that's the most
generous
thing I've ever heard.
Woman on
he found a sexual toy.
I completely agree with that, but I'm saying that the personality traits, which you're upset with, which I'm not disagreeing with you on, I'm saying she interrupted the interview to defend him in a way, defend their relationship and say, we don't want to talk about this.
She's interrupting about when they're asking about football.
I don't know that to be true.
I just read it to you 5 minutes ago.
Yeah,
what are you talking about?
Yeah, the part that
Hudson
has most been publicized.
I respect you if you don't believe it, because I don't believe anything either.
There were numerous other instances of Hudson butting in. Even when the legendary coach was answering questions about football, she would stop and correct him.
So she's obviously a control freak, obviously.
And the last thing Bill's going to say is, Jordan, just zip it. Let me answer the question.
Yeah.
It's the last thing he's going to say.
The part that I'll agree with Cakes is that it is an embarrassing look for him. It's humiliating. But the part of it is he obviously does not care. He's been putting on this like douchebag act for 25 years or more.
If it's an act.
I think it is an act. Because I've seen him in other situations where he is gregarious or whatever, but he doesn't want to play your game, so he's not going to play your game. He's not going to be charming. He's just going to be whatever. Now, in this instance, is he selling a book? Is that why you keep saying the publishing company?
Yeah,
he doesn't seem
I
to
guess.
Be doing. Now,
yes,
he's probably put off by some of the questions, so that's making him defensive, and then it's why he's going into douche mode. That's my guess. My guess.
I wonder if he told them pre-interview, we don't want to talk about this, don't ask about this. And they still did.
Maybe.
So that pissed her off.
Maybe.
Am I willing to wager on whether he breaks up with her within a calendar year?
Ooh, I'll take the bet.
Hmm.
I'll take, if you want
to do that, just make the bet.
$2.
All right,
that's the minimum bet. By the way, Valdez, you might have to check the bet book. I think I probably lost at least one bet as far as Adam Peters not moving off the draft picks. Because I was pretty resolute.
What about Charlie Lindgren? I know you said when I left the show, you said you were on a heater.
Yeah.
Like everything Cakes touched gold. I was the only person who said they're going to go with Logan Thompson.
Yeah.
And you said, nope, going with Chucky.
I don't think I consummated a bet on that.
Okay.
I was pretty confident it was going to be Chucky.
I was shocked when they went with Logan. I'll be honest with you.
He's the better guy. Always play the better guy.
When he hadn't played in 3 weeks.
No, you're right.
You're right. But
Carbs knows his team. He knows.
Yeah.
No, there's nothing about moving out.
Really?
Nope.
Interesting. I consider that a win.
All right, good.
That's like a win. That's a life win right there.
The last bet was on 4-8.
Man, we've been dry. What are we doing?
Yeah,
21 days without bets?
Can we make some bets in here? What are we doing?
I think he very
I'll bet Caps lose tomorrow night.
I can't bet the Caps.
I'll take the win. I'll bet the Caps on record.
$2
I will bet. I'll take $2 from around the room if you want. Bill Belichick will ditch Jordan Hudson within a year from today.
Oh, I'm so in on that.
What if she ditches him?
Will we know?
Yeah, I don't know.
If she ditches him, I still win.
Just say it's a breakup.
Yeah, a breakup.
They'll break up within a year.
I get breakup. I get both either side. Yeah.
$2.
Who wants it?
I'll take it.
You're in?
I'll take it. I don't care.
Come on, it's $2.
I'll bet you four bucks.
I'm in.
All right, you're in for four. Yeah. Drab's in for two. JP, you're in for four.
Yeah, I want all.
No, I'm kind of on your side. I can see them breaking up.
These, you want some
Why's
action?
He gonna break up? Where's he going to eat? He's got 25-year-old Selly. He's not going to give that up.
Mike gets tired of it.
She's in AD heaven. She's not breaking up with him.
She's not breaking up with him.
I think they're together.
This could be her lottery ticket if he has dunk.
That's exactly what this is.
Yeah,
this is totally her lottery.
Do I win the bet if he dies within a year?
No.
No.
The bet's null and void.
Oh, no, because they're not broken up. Then she's a widow.
No, if he passes within a year, the bet is null and void.
Here's the thing. I will say this. It has changed my opinion of her. Like before, I just thought, oh, young girl, probably maybe has like a daddy thing or something. Like now I just think she's a piece of garbage.
She's a nightmare.
Now I think she's a vulture. If she's in for the money. And I don't know. Usually when you're like that, though, like there's something going on there. She's trying to hide something, right? She's trying to protect some information.
I guess.
Why are you being so militant? You're trying to hide something. You got something to hide.
Why are you being so private?
Why are you being so guarded?
Manipulative.
Why are you being so manipulative? What scam are you running?
Well, I mean, the other thing is we didn't hear all the questions that were asked.
Listen, so. I'm sure they were being douchey.
Yeah.
But if you don't have anything to hide, you don't have to be like sitting there at every second, like monitoring every question, like a lawyer, you know, like somebody's on trial.
Yeah, I'm guessing they told that director, we're not talking about this, and they still questioned them. So maybe that's what pissed her off.
Bill, do it for the boys. Break up with her. She's bad news.
I definitely think she's bad news. But I don't think he's great news.
No, he's certainly not. All right, when we come back, we will talk more Commanders with John Keim. He covers the Commanders for ESPN.com. And don't forget, coming up at 9:20, another chance for you to win a pair of tickets to Round 1 Home Game 3 for the 2025 playoffs as the Caps take on Montreal on Wednesday.